ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Australia is the world's largest producer and exporter of quality wool, and it wants to stay that way. But it is a challenging global market for wool. With consumers hit hard by the cost of living, they're turning away from more expensive textiles. It's also challenged with how to measure and market its environmental credentials, in a world demanding greater environmental accountability and sustainability. I'm Bridget Herman. That's a main focus of a week-long congress being held in Adelaide this week by the International Wool Textile Organisation. President Klaus Steger says it's a challenging market right now.
Definitely at the moment. There was two very good years just following the COVID crisis. And after these 2 years, what hit the world? There was inflation, there's wars, there's a big insecurity coming up, and generally the economic development was less. And that, of course, hits the clothing, the apparel markets. Are people spending money for apparel when they are saving money, when they are worried? And are they spending on more expensive apparel? Because wool, of course, is a more expensive article, and therefore these kind of articles in apparel usually tend to be hit harder than others in times of crisis.
So looking at a sustainable future then for the industry, and I imagine a lot of this is being discussed at this Congress this week here in Adelaide, some of the major challenges to sustaining this industry into the future, what are they?
This is the most important topic that you touch. First of all, there's the economy itself. If the economy is growing and if people have growth of income, then of course they're spending more on higher value garments. That's one thing. The second thing is, of course, the big topic of sustainability. And although wool is by common sense sustainable, it is a circular product. The sheep eats grass, and the sheep emits carbon and methane, but the grass for growth again needs carbon dioxide and the split products from methane. So it's actually a circular thing. But all scientists agree to that. And in some cases, the sheep is regarded as a machine that is emitting carbon and methane. And it's not taken into account that it is in a circular system, in a natural circular system. And particularly in Europe, at the moment, the lawmakers are discussing regulations that would play against wool. And one of the major tasks of IWTO is to counter that and to rectify that and to find proof that this is not the case.
France recently passed some laws around fast fashion as well, and trying to drive consumers away from that as well. So it sounds like a complicated space, certainly in Europe at the moment, for wool in one hand, looking at this fashion industry being more sustainable and looking towards more sustainable ways of producing fashion, but also at the same time, as you say, overcoming some of these challenges around sustainability of production of wool in the first place.
You're right. Everything is thrown in the same basket. Wool is not really part of fast fashion. And fast fashion, there's other materials that are going into fast fashion. Wool is usually too expensive for fast fashion. But it is hit in the same sentence. People don't differentiate. And that's one of the bigger issues in that. But, Europe is a big market for wool products in the end, a big consumer market, and therefore we have to deal with that, and therefore we have to see and take our influence to see that the rules and regulations which are going to come up, apparel products, will have to be labeled soon in the European community in the shop according to their environmental impact. And we must make sure that the rules and the criteria behind this labeling is correct. And at the moment, it is flawed. And there is a campaign that's called Make the Label Count campaign, which is a joint venture of Woolmark and IWTO, which is working in this direction.
International Wool Textile Organisation President Klaus Steger speaking there with Selena Green. Producers will soon be able to sign up to a revamped scheme to help set certified sustainable wool standards. The Australian Wool Sustainability Scheme was officially launched. It's managed by the Australian Wool Exchange, which hopes it'll boost the international reputation of wool in Australia by setting new standards for production and sourcing. AWEC CEO Mark Graves says it's an evolution of the old Sustainable Integrity Scheme.
We conducted a review of Sustainable, the integrity scheme, and that was about 15 months ago. And so within that, there were recommendations that came forward, but also an opportunity for us to reset and relaunch what is now the new scheme. And today was the launch date of the new scheme, which is now called the Australian Wool Sustainability Scheme. And support we've received and recognition we've received has been great.
So what was the need, I guess, to essentially evolve the old scheme into what this new one is? And we'll talk about what changes in a moment, but why was there a need to evolve how it had been working?
Well, like with any scheme and with any business, you need to be in constant contact with your customers and find out what their needs are. And we realised clearly that there was an opportunity for us and a need for us to actually revisit what the principles were and also what the scheme was going to deliver.
The new scheme, what do wool growers need to do to be accredited? How does it work?
Well, the aim here is to use a digital solution to create absolute transparency but also efficiency for not only the grower but also for the broker, the buyer and their customers overseas. Previously, it was a mixture of digital and paper-based. We're trying to reduce the, I suppose, inconvenience in many respects of audit, which is a common term used these days, is audit fatigue, because similar companies are running down the same driveway and doing the same things, and quite frankly, growers are getting tired of that. And we wanted to make sure that we had the opportunity to certify a product very quickly without the complication of infrastructure that has been in existence beforehand.
So with the standards that have been set under this new scheme, I understand there's four pillars to this.
There is four pillars to it, and they are the same pillars or similar pillars to what we had with Sustainable. But what we're doing is using a digital opportunity to actually measure them and transfer that information. So, for instance, our new scheme says that all wool must use an e-bale, an e-pack, which are relatively new to the industry. All wool growers will use wool clip, which is a way of digitally capturing the information on farm, which really is the source of truth, and that will transfer that information through the supply chain. And the introduction of using pain relief or analgesia for any husbandry practice, including tail docking castration. So there's some of the measures that are significantly different, but also give a greater level of confidence to our buyers about the practices and sustainability claims that are being made on farm.
So I understand there's two pathways to accreditation, and you mentioned there about the control of fly strike and how that's done. So two pathways, Sustainable and Responsible. One allows Muesling for fly strike control. Why split it like that?
One thing is very important here, that Sustainable was built originally on a non-mules accreditation scheme. It morphed, if you like, or evolved into including mules with pain relief. What we're saying here is that the Sustainable brand will still exist for those that seek the sustainability credentials, not just about animal husbandry, because that's not the key focus here. It's about the accreditation that they have for claims for their environment, for the people, the community in which they work. So the Sustainable will still hold true to that. Responsible, where the only difference really is the treatment of mulesing, where it has to be done with pain relief, whether it be analgesic or anaesthetic. And it's important that this scheme, because it's an Australian-based scheme, recognises the landscape and environment that Australian wool is grown. We're a big country, and we vary from literally the drought to flooding plains. And it's important that we can recognise the sustainability credentials of wool growers who grow wool in any capacity, provided they meet the requirements of the scheme itself.
So the standards that have been set, they consider things like, you mentioned their welfare standards, what about, you know, things like grazing, on the environment, chemical use, those impacts?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, there's an interesting thing in the industry is that there are, you know, a potential for that to evolve. You know, there's a lot of talk and discussion at the moment about carbon neutrality and how that might impact a market. It's important that we don't duplicate. It's important that we build on the available schemes and systems that exist and have been invested in by Australian industries for a long, long time. And we can use that as first-hand accreditation or for a certification for wool being grown.
Now, who sets these standards? Is it the industry itself? And if so, is it appropriate for the industry to be setting its own standards of what's sustainable?
We have an independent expert panel, and these people are the experts, highly credentialed in their field of whether it be environmental or, you know, be it in research or other. They will be lead, and it's independently chaired, so independent group, independent chairmanship, and they will be the group that the expert panel that is guiding the Australian Wool Sustainability Scheme.
You mentioned there before about audit fatigue, and obviously with going to a digital format would address some of that for producers, but is there still an auditing process? Is there still oversight to ensure that producers are continuing to meet those standards?
Yes, but there is, because it's actually an important part to make sure that there is that oversight, as you say. I think the key part here is that the evidence that they have, that is the wool grower, or the evidence of the audit, can be uploaded through the digital platform, being or the gateway, which is a grower gateway for each sustainable or Australian wool sustainability scheme wool grower.
Australian Wool Exchange Chief Executive Officer Mark Graves speaking there with Selena Green. Now, you can't talk wool without talking fashion. Peter Ackroyd is chair of the IWTO's Retail Forum. While things are challenging for the industry, wool is still on trend when it comes to clothing.
Yes, what I would highlight on that is wool is on trend for women's wear at the moment, and particularly women's tailored wear, which is very refreshing as it hasn't been on trend for quite some time. I'm seeing quite a bit of women's tailored trousers, tailored jackets being showcased in Europe, particularly in the UK, and even in spring, which is it's our spring at the moment. So I think autumn could be quite a promising season. This, of course, Selena, is in the context of quite a few headwinds against consumer spending at the moment, which we have to deal with. But certainly, wool is very much on trend, and I would highlight the women's wear trend is probably one of the major ones to emerge.
As we're hearing a lot about a cost of living crisis, not certainly just here in Australia, but that is around the world. Is wool pretty resilient when, you know, times get tough that consumers still want to wear and buy wool?
Well, I've always quoted Vivienne Westwood on this, who said, buy well, buy little, buy wool. one hopes that this is a trend that is something which makes wool an investment with what I call a return on capital invested. Because if you do buy wool instead of polyester or cotton, wool will last. And I think the whole look of fashion now is not to be changing everything every 6 weeks or every 6 months. Fashion is about a bit of longevity, and wool can give longevity. So I'm relatively optimistic, but given that, I'm not unaware of the problems that consumers are putting their hands in their pockets and not getting the money out, unfortunately.
Mm. I mean, of course, we've seen the rise of, you know, these fast fashion websites where people can order things in and wear them once and we'll throw them away because they are so cheap to come in. Are we also seeing, though, a growing backlash to a lot of that as well? So is there an opportunity for wool here to really sell itself as the opposite, as the more environmentally friendly and responsible answer to that fast fashion?
I think that is the key question at the moment. Retail in the UK is quite polarised. Fashion, I think, in my view, is quite polarised as well. There is fast fashion, which is totally unsustainable, non-biodegradable, everything evil that you can imagine about over-consumer spending. And I think some of the British retailers from where I come, of course, and Marks and Spencer's next, Charles Tewitt, are very, very active in trading up and getting a better quality product into store, particularly Marks and Spencer's, who wool has known since Marks and Spencer started in Leeds, where I was born in 1884. You know, so we are seeing some trading up. We're seeing product being improved via more natural fibres. So let's hope that this will help the demand curve for wool from Australia.
Peter Ackroyd from the IWTO speaking with Selena Green.
If you'd like to explore even further what it takes to put food on plates around the world, join me, Callie Buchanan, and our team of specialist reporters from across Queensland as we break down the big issues of rural life, from the food you eat to the clothes you wear and the home you live in. It's all available for you on the ABC Listen app. Just favourite the Queensland Country Hour or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.